Shadows. Written by Dragonflies and Catydids. Read by Opal Song. Fandom Dragon Age Origins. Rating Mature. Relationship Alistair Zevran and Zevran original male character. Also tagged for self-harm, masochism, sort of, rough sex, very rough sex, dubious consent, grief and mourning, emotional hurt comfort, torture, and self-destruction. Part 6 of the Off-Label series. Chapter 1. Zevran stands over Taliesin's body and waits to feel something. Triumph would be understandable, given that he is the one still standing after the fight. Anger would also make sense. Betrayal would be foolish. They are crows, after all. But emotions are so rarely logical that if he did feel betrayed, it would hardly be unusual. Even some tattered remnant of the love they once shared, or sorrow over the way that love meant nothing in the end, would not be out of place here. Staring at the corpse at his feet, he feels none of those things. In fact, he feels nothing at all. The mercenary lying a few feet away provoked more of a reaction, though that was only irritation that the man's armor had notched one of his daggers. He doesn't even feel that much for Taliesin. With a certain detached curiosity, he deliberately calls up his last memory of Rena. Or rather, of Rena's body. Nothing. He goes further back, to Rena alive and reaching for him as she giggles under Taliesin. Still nothing. With a small shock, he realizes Mahariel is talking to him. Words some part of him must understand because his mouth is answering. The answers must make sense, too, but somehow he can't hear himself or her or anyone. Somehow it doesn't even seem strange. And he congratulates himself on maintaining the proper distance, the way he was taught. None of this matters, after all. Why should he feel anything? There are more questions he doesn't hear and answers he only knows he's making because he feels his mouth moving and his throat working. Then there are alleys, indistinguishable from any of the dozens of others they've walked since coming to Denerim, and broader streets full of people, and finally, a tavern. He receives another small shock, then, when he looks around and finds himself short one elf and one red-headed bard. Where they went, or when he separated himself from them, he doesn't know. But they're nowhere near this tavern, that's for certain. Unfortunately, he has not lost a certain blonde Ferelden puppy, who is currently hovering at his shoulder and eyeing the tavern's other occupants with deep distrust and a bit of concern. He isn't wearing his usual armor, only a light coat of leather riveted with iron plates, that draws far less attention when wandering the city. But he still somehow looks like Zevran's bodyguard, and more than one person is now edging away from them. For the first time since he heard Taliesin's voice, Zevran feels something. irritation, he decides after a moment. Just a bit of irritation. That Alistair has decided to trail after him rather than find a way to pass the afternoon that doesn't involve Zevran. However mild the irritation, Zevran wishes it would go away again, along with Alistair. He was quite enjoying feeling nothing at all. So why does Alistair insist on ruining it? Irritation twists and becomes something uglier, something Zevran refuses to acknowledge. He is a crow, and Taliesin is now as dead as Rena. There is no reason he should feel anything at all, except, perhaps, a desire for a drink and an uncomplicated fuck. Neither of which Alistair will be able to provide, so Zevran doesn't pay him any attention as he surveys the tavern for a likely target who can meet both needs. It isn't as if he doesn't have coin. Mahariel is more than generous, now that she has money to be generous with. But why pay for a drink if someone else can be persuaded to buy it for him? Two tables over, a big man in leather armor returns his look with an equally appraising one, and Zevran smiles at him, then lets his smile widen when he gets a smirk in return. Alistair's hand on his arm wipes the smile away, and Zevran turns to glare at him. "Did you need something?" he asks, narrowing his eyes. Rather than answer the question, Alistair frowns. "What are you doing?" "I should think that would be obvious," Alistair says, raising a single mocking brow. "Did you, perhaps, require an explanation?" Alistair flushes to the roots of his hair, but his grip on Zevran's arm doesn't relax. "We could..."
"Yes?" Zevran asks sweetly. "We could what?"
He knows perfectly well Alistair won't be able to voice even the mildest suggestion aloud, and he feels a nasty pleasure in watching him try and talk around it in stumbling half-sentences. When that begins to pale as entertainment, Zevran interrupts him, cutting across a stuttering attempt to say cock that just makes him want to scream.
"I'm sure that's all very nice," he says kindly, "but why don't you run along now? The adults will be playing, and I see no need to have children underfoot."
Alistair goes white and shrinks inside his armor, his grip loosening as he mumbles an apology that Zevran doesn't stay to hear. Instead, he fixes his gaze on his soon-to-be friend and picks his way through the crowded tavern, wearing his most inviting smile. Zevran stops beside him, too close for mere politeness, and the man asks, "Friend of yours?" He points with his chin back to where Alistair was standing.
"Not tonight," Zevran says,
letting one eye drop in a brief wink. The man laughs, which is as good as an invitation. As he sits at the table, sliding across the bench to get closer to his new friend, Zevran glances over his shoulder to see Alistair's reaction. He's not sure what he's expecting or hoping to see, only that it's suddenly important to see it. But Alistair is gone. The sex is fast and rough, a hard fuck up against the wall behind the tavern that leaves Zevran's mouth bloody where his lips split against his teeth. It hurts, too, and not pleasantly. This isn't the kind of pain that works as a counterpoint to the pleasure to make it all the sweeter. He never makes it to more than halfway hard, though the man fucking him in brutal thrusts doesn't seem to notice and certainly doesn't care. It's exactly what he was looking for. And it isn't enough. When it's over, Zevran grins and bows as if the pain isn't throbbing all the way to his toes, and goes on his way with a bounce in his step that sends spikes through his body every time his feet hit the ground. His thoughts circle endlessly around Rena and Taliesin, but despite his inability to clear them from his mind, the memories provoke no more emotion than he might feel over one of Leliana's stories. He drifts from tavern to inn
to back alley for a while, willing himself to be patient as he watches and weighs the people he sees before moving on, without speaking to any of them. It isn't difficult to find a dozen men like the first one, men who will use him without concern for anything except their own pleasure. But thoughtless cruelty isn't what he needs tonight. At some point after midnight, when the thought of seeking out one of the city's crow masters is beginning to seem like a good idea, Zevran finally finds what he's looking for. The tavern is so nondescript that he almost misses it completely. But once inside, it's clear what sort of clientele the place serves. Men and women with money, who value discretion over anything else. No one will ask awkward questions here. Zevran scans the other patrons out of habit and pauses on one seated at a table toward the back. He's an older man with a soft smile that doesn't match hard eyes, and he opens a hand in invitation when Zevran meets his gaze. There's a room this time, furnished modestly with a bed and table and chairs, all of them sturdy and of good quality. Zevran takes it in with a single glance, assessing potential weapons and escape routes instinctively, as if he has any plans to fight back. When the man grabs him from behind, he struggles only enough for verisimilitude, allowing himself to be bound and gagged so thoroughly he would be hard-pressed to slip free even if he wanted to. The man doesn't do anything so crude as fuck him, but he knows a number of ways to hurt him, and Zevran tries to lose himself in the searing heat of burns and the terrible pain of a blade and the dull throb of bruises. Even if it's far from the worst he's ever suffered, tonight he wants to let go, let them overwhelm him and wash away everything else. Except that he can't. No matter how hard he tries, he can't forget he's a crow, can't unlearn a lifetime's worth of lessons. His teeth clench tight around the gag, though he wants to scream, and his mind builds escape plan after escape plan, though he wants to think of nothing at all. Letting go isn't something he knows how to do anymore. A knock on the door startles both of them, breaking the man's concentration as he carves another line across Zevran's back. And the knife digs in deeper than before. Zevran hisses around the gag, but his teeth stay locked together against any other noise. Behind him, the man waits without speaking, his fingers resting on Zevran's shoulder as they both listen for sounds from outside. A second knock follows when the first isn't answered. Then a third, and the man curses very quietly as he drops his hand. Zevran listens to him cross the room, unable even now to stop gauging angles of attack and probable direction of a blow. "What is it?" the man barks through the door. "I'm busy." The reply is mumbled, too low to be heard through the wood, but Zevran recognizes the voice anyway. His eyes open wide, and he tries to speak around the gag to call a warning. Too late. The man opens the door only a crack, but a crack is all Alistair needs. A heavy thump, the sound of an armored shoulder hitting a door, and a shout that's both angry and confused. And then Alistair's voice is muttering, "Make her save me." Zevran can't remember the last time he was this angry, full of a rage so pure it freezes rather than burns. Bound as he is, he can't move to pin Alistair with a glare. He can only listen as the third man curses and blusters. "Get out." The words cut across the tirade, and they're so crisp and commanding that it takes Zevran a moment to realize Alistair is the one speaking. "You can't," the man begins. "Get out," Alistair says again in that same level, implacable voice. "Get out now." Whatever expression accompanies the words, the next noise Zevran hears is the door closing, right before Alistair kneels in front of him. He's still dressed in the same light armor from earlier, without the bulk added by his usual heavy plate. But Zevran is startled to realize he doesn't need that extra weight to look intimidating. Alistair's hands don't shake as he unties the gag, and his face is as blank as it normally is when he fights. As Zevran works his jaw and lips to remind them how to move, Alistair cuts the rest of his bindings, knife slipping carefully between skin and rope so as not to leave even one more mark. That care only makes Zevran angrier, something he wouldn't have thought possible. He's so angry he can't speak even once his mouth works properly. He pretends that silence is a choice, that he's waiting for Alistair to say something so stupid Zevran can cut him apart without hesitation. Whatever skill he has with a sword, Zevran is woefully unprepared for a battle of words, and his opening shot will be his last. The silence stretches out, and Zevran can't stop himself from planning the things Alistair should say, if only he were fast enough. Perhaps a sarcastic, "So this is how adults play?" But when the ropes are gone, what Alistair says, in that quiet voice, is, "What's wrong?" It's not at all what Zevran was expecting, and being confused only hardens the icy rage inside him. "What's wrong?" he demands. "What's wrong?" Alistair doesn't say anything, his expression wary, as if he's judging a new opponent on the battlefield. "You followed me," Zevran growls. "You followed me and you interfered with something that was none of your concern. Whatever I might say when you fuck me, I am not yours and you are not my master. I fuck whoever I wish, not whoever you allow." "You weren't fucking him," Alistair says quietly. He somehow looks both thoughtful and poised to spring, very much like a man in a fight. "It's still none of your concern," Zevran says, putting all the venom at his command into the words, wanting to see Alistair flinch. "Nothing I do is your concern." That doesn't earn him so much as a blink. Alistair does pause, but it appears to be nothing more than a chance for him to weigh his next words. And that careful regard doesn't shift as he says, "Who was Taliesin?" Alistair's dagger is still loose in his hand, not yet sheathed after he cut away the ropes, and now apparently forgotten. It's ridiculously easy to snatch it away from him and press the point against his throat, just under his chin. "No one," Zevran says, his voice now as calm as Alistair's. "He is no one to you." "Who is he to you?" Alistair asks without flinching. Zevran slashes the knife across his throat, just hard enough to break the skin without doing any permanent damage. Alistair pales, but he doesn't lose that waiting posture. So Zevran cuts him again, this time across his left cheek. Still nothing. He doesn't even raise a hand to defend himself. "Are you stupid?" Zevran demands. "Do you want to die?" "No," Alistair says. And to Zevran's shock, he smiles faintly. "But we're facing an archdemon, and Mahariel is better suited to leading the Grey Wardens than I am." Angry as he is, it takes Zevran a moment to unravel that, to understand what Alistair is saying. Someone will die to bring down the archdemon, and someone will, hopefully, survive to rebuild Ferelden's Grey Wardens. If Mahariel fills the second role, then that leaves the first for Alistair. Zevran reverses the dagger so the point is no longer against Alistair's cheek, then slaps him hard with the other hand. It's an open-handed blow, deliberately insulting in the way a punch wouldn't be, and it knocks Alistair's head to the side. When he straightens, he's no longer smiling, but he still doesn't look angry. So Zevran slaps him again, directly over the cut, dripping blood down his face. It has no more effect than the first blow, and it makes Zevran so angry he can't even breathe. This time he closes his fist, aiming for the cut that's now bleeding freely. But when he swings, Alistair leans away and catches his wrist in a bruising grip. Kneeling as they are, neither of them has much in the way of leverage, But Alistair takes advantage of his weight and superior strength to pin both of Zevran's wrists together, forcing him to drop the dagger. He still doesn't look anything other than watchful, and his voice is quiet when he asks, "Does this help?" "Does what help?" Zevran asks, not because he cares, but because he hopes answering will distract Alistair enough to give him the upper hand. "Hurting me," Alistair says. More than anything, Zevran wants to jerk his hands away, but Alistair's grip is as tight as ever. Instead, he sneers. "And if I say yes?" Alistair rolls his lower lip between his teeth very briefly, his attention turned inward as he considers his answer. Before Zevran can take advantage of his distraction, Alistair's expression firms, and he nods once, as if he's made some important decision. Then he releases his hold, and while Zevran is still gathering his scattered wits, picks up the dagger to offer it back, hilt first. If Zevran didn't know better, he'd swear Alistair is some kind of mage, crushing him inside an ever-shrinking prison. He's squeezed down, forced into a space too small to contain everything. Something has to give, and the crows taught him to be sure that something was never him. He attacks, springing up and forward without warning. Alistair makes one aborted attempt to fight back, his arm coming up for a moment before he drops it back to his side. That hesitation doesn't slow Zevran in the slightest as he comes up to his feet and spins to stand behind Alistair, one hand in his hair and the knife once more against his throat. "Let me tell you who Taliesin was to me," Zevran says conversationally. "And then I will tell you who he is to me now." He pauses, but Alistair says nothing, only continues to breathe slow and steady. His back is pressed against Zevran's thighs. The unhurried rise and fall of his chest is infuriating. "He was my lover," Zevran says, twisting his fingers a little tighter in Alistair's hair just for the brief pain to hitch it puts in his breathing. "An excellent one, too. Far better than you, mi corazon." Alistair doesn't understand, and Teven, but he'll understand the derision Zevran puts on what should be an endearment. "We were compradi together," Zevran continues, "and together in every way for years. I was 7 when House Adonai bought me from my mother, and Taliesin was no older. Do you have a friend like that, mi corazon? A friend who is part of you for nearly your entire life? A friend who is more your family than anyone who shares your blood?" There's another brief hitch in Alistair's breathing, for no reason Zevran can see, but he ignores it. "Not that we didn't share blood in a different sense, of course. Sometimes a job requires more than one crow, and we always worked well together, whatever task we were given." He lets go of Alistair's hair, smoothing it back down without moving the knife from his throat. "You wish to know who Taliesin is to me? He was my lover, and now he is dead. Now he is nothing to me." The emptiness inside Zevran is proof enough, that echoing lack of grief or anger or love. Alistair's hair is damp with sweat, and a little longer than he normally keeps it. They've been so busy these last few weeks, there's hardly been a moment to breathe, let alone to attend to such minor things as trimming hair. Zevran twists and untwists a strand, wrapping it tightly around one finger before releasing it, over and over and over again. "House Adonai purchased a score of children the year they purchased me," he says, watching his hand in Alistair's hair. "And though Taliesin and I were the only ones to survive, we lacked, a certain brilliance, you might say. We were good cuchillos, good knives for the crows, but we would never have been more than that without Rena." How long has it been since he said her name? Surely he should feel something, even if saying Taliesin's no longer provokes a reaction. Unlike Taliesin, she did nothing to earn her fate. Rina, he said, drawing her name out, as if that will somehow spark an emotion out of the hollow place that swallowed everything. Rina had all the skills we lacked, and the three of us together were a wonder in everything. He smiles, making sure Alistair can hear it in his voice. She was my lover, too. Mine and Taliesin's. She was ours, and we were hers. And there wasn't a Crow Master anywhere in Antiva who didn't want to own us. Zevran made a loose fist in Alistair's hair. It's definitely long past time to cut it. When the Landsmeet convenes, he must look like a king, not a scruffy little boy. If he lives long enough to make it to the Landsmeet. He is so naive, so careless, it's a wonder he's made it this far. With a faint sigh, Zevran flattens his hand so he can cup Alistair's forehead. The knife is still ready, and Zevran wonders if it's now been there so long that Alistair no longer feels it. The body can grow accustomed to anything. Rina was beautiful, too, he says, deliberately calling up the memory of her mouth against his, Taliesin's hands on them both. The three of us were beautiful together. So, of course, it could never last. Do you want to know what happened to her? With a knife at his throat and Zevran's hand on his forehead, Alistair can't give any kind of answer. But Zevran wasn't looking for one. He strokes his thumb across Alistair's hairline, keeping his head firmly pinned, and says, "She died. She died because she was a threat to someone with power, and in Antiva, the crows are nearly always a solution to such problems." Alistair shifts against him, one of the metal plates on his armor scraping across a burn on Zevran's hip, and Zevran tightens his hold, tilting the knife a little so that the flat of the blade touches the underside of Alistair's chin. "She died," he said, again. "And we killed her, Taliesin and I, because we were told that she betrayed the crows, so now she is nothing to me, too." The burn on his hip is throbbing, but he ignores it, the way he's ignoring the dozens of other pains that try to demand his attention. He is a crow, and he learned to close his mind off from physical pain even before he met Rina. "And now I think perhaps I should save myself the trouble," Zevran says, pressing the flat of the blade harder against Alistair's chin. "Which is what you are, mi corazon. Rather a lot of trouble. I could do to you what I did to them, and then you can be nothing to me too." He's expecting at least another twitch, if not an attempt to fight back, but Alistair's breathing has returned to slow and steady. "Did you hear me?" Zevran demands, moving the blade just far enough that Alistair can talk. Alistair works his jaw for a moment, then says simply, "Yes." "Are you sure you don't wish to die?" Zevran asks, "because you seem bent on it." This time Alistair doesn't say anything, though the dagger is still far enough away that he could. When the silence hurts more than any of the burns or bruises on his body, Zevran digs his fingernails hard into Alistair's forehead and barks, "Answer me!" There's another brief pause before Alistair says quietly, "I don't want to die." "You'll pardon me if I find that hard to believe," Zevran says, putting as much sarcasm as he can muster into the words. "People who do not wish to die generally are not so calm with a knife at their throat." "You won't kill me," Alistair says, with absolute certainty. Zevran puts the knife back against his throat, so close the blade probably nicks his skin. "And how will you stop me?" "I don't need to," Alistair says, pressing his head back against Zevran's chest to give himself room to speak. "You won't kill me." He's being crushed again, smothered in some mage's prison that closed in so tight his bones are breaking, the shattering ends stabbing into his lungs. It wouldn't take more than a flick of his wrist to cut Alistair's throat, And then maybe he can be completely empty, full of the nothingness that suits a real crow. But he isn't a real crow now, and perhaps he never was. The dagger hits the floor with a solid thump, sinking halfway to the hilt. Before it's even stopped quivering, Zevran has turned away and stalked across the room to the table, where he braces his hands against the edge and lets his head hang down. He still can't breathe, and every part of him aches. Behind him, Alistair climbs slowly to his feet, leather creaking and metal plates occasionally grating against each other, followed by more rustling as he settles his sword belt back into place. Then, a brief silence before the sound of his footsteps warns Zevran he's approaching. He considers a number of violent responses if Alistair touches him, but none of them turn out to be necessary. The footsteps stop a little ways away, well out of arm's reach. "Did she betray the crows?" Alistair asks. It's not what Zevran was expecting.
"What?"
"You said..." Alistair hesitates. The first time tonight he sounded like the man Zevran has grown accustomed to, as opposed to this wary, self-possessed stranger. "You said you were told she betrayed the crows. Did she?"
"No," Zevran snaps. "We were given a lie, which is hardly uncommon. Ikuchiyo isn't owed the truth. We are knives, not the hands that wield them."
"Ah." Impossible to tell what Alistair's feeling from that small sound, and Zevran scowls at the table.
"Taliesin knew," he says, wanting to shake Alistair's calm somehow. If Alistair thinks of this as a fight, keeping himself controlled and ready for anything, then it's a fight Zevran means to win. "He knew the whole time."
"Did you?" Alistair asks.
"No, but what does that matter to you? She begged me for her life, and I did nothing to save her. Do you think I would treat you differently?"
Alistair doesn't answer. He steps forward and puts his hand on Zevran's back, fitting it between the cuts and burns so that he's not touching any of them. His hand is very warm. Knife or no knife, there are a dozen ways Zevran could hurt or kill him from this position. He doesn't move. Not even when Alistair's hip comes to rest against his hand drifting up to curl around the back of Zevran's neck.
"Tell me what you need,"
Alistair says quietly. It takes everything Zevran has to keep his voice level.
"I need you to leave me in peace."
"I can't leave you alone with someone like that," Alistair says. His voice shakes a little, another glimpse of the real Alistair. Or at least the Alistair that Zevran expects.
"I can't."
"You asked what I need," Zevran says. "What I need tonight is nothing you can give me." Alistair takes a deep breath that seems to go on forever. In, and then out. When it's done, the last bit of air expelled, his hand moves down Zevran's neck to his shoulder and squeezes hard right over one of the burns. Zevran gasps and twists away on instinct, putting the table between himself and Alistair. They stare at each other with mirroring, wide-eyed expressions until Alistair looks away, a flush climbing his face.
"I'm sorry," he says. His confidence is gone now, the guilt and shame back in force.
I shouldn't have.
"Stop," Zevran says. He has what he wanted. Alistair once more stuttering and uncertain, only to discover he hates it more than ever.
"No apology is necessary, but this is why I say that what I need tonight is not something you can give." He flicks his fingers in Alistair's direction, indicating his hunched shoulders and agonized expression.
"I need someone who will not flinch."
"If it's what you need, I can do it," Alistair says, all in a rush. His hands are knotted in fists at his sides.
"I doubt that," Zevran says softly. "You can hardly stand to do it once." Because I thought you didn't want it, Alistair says. His voice is still a little too fast and high, but it's coming down. You pulled away, and I thought... He doesn't finish the sentence, just imitates Zevran's gesture in reverse, turning his hand briefly palm up. If it's really what you want, I can do it.
Is this something you like? Zevran asks, curious if he's stumbled into another of Alistair's so carefully hidden desires.
But Alistair is shaking his head vehemently. No.
Then leave, and let me find someone who does.
I don't have to like it, Alistair says. Unless you want me to after?
Fuck me, Zevran asks, too tired to make Alistair say it. No.
Then why does it matter if I like it? He's calm again, centered as if he's in the middle of a fight, despite the blush that hasn't quite faded. Zevran stares at him, unable to think of a way to explain. He doesn't want Alistair doing things for him, not things that provide him with nothing in return. Sex is all well and good, but this accrues a debt, and debts can be called at the most inconvenient times. Without breaking eye contact, Alistair steps around the table. Zevran holds his ground, though a part of him wants to move and keep the table between them. And when Alistair's hand closes on his shoulder again, he doesn't flinch away from the pain. He can feel it down to his fingers and across his chest, nipples hardening in a reaction that has nothing of pleasure in it, even though he wants more of it. It's too long, but not long enough before Alistair lets go, and Zevran has to take a few deep breaths of his own.
A pity you cut the rope, he said at last. I suppose we can improvise something.
To his surprise, Alistair shakes his head. No. Zevran gets hold of his temper, barely.
Then leave and let me find someone who can do this for me.
What? Alistair asks, frowning in confusion. Before Zevran can answer, his face clears, his expression firm again. I can do this, but I won't tie you. That's all I ask. I can't, not if you're bound.
It's... not exactly what Zevran wants, but he weighs it carefully and decides it's a requirement he can live with, on one condition.
He crosses the room to the pile of cut rope and extracts the gag, holding it up so Alistair can see it.
Then this is my requirement.
He gets a dubious look, so he adds, my hands will be free. If I wish to stop, I can remove it. Shoulders tense, Alistair looks from him to the gag, and Zevran can see him performing his own calculations, feeling at the limits of his discomfort. Eventually, his posture changes, back to relaxed and ready, and he nods. All right. Zevran feels the tension leave him, the relief so intense he's dizzy with it. On one level, the intensity of his reaction bothers him. It reminds him that the only time he willingly surrendered control, it was to Alistair. At the same time, he needs it too much to care. The gag is damp and cold, mildly disgusting, but it's far from the worst thing Zevran's ever had in his mouth. He has to show Alistair what to do, wadding up cloth to fill his mouth before tying the last strip around his head to hold it all in place. When he's done, Alistair hesitates a moment, looking concerned again. Then his nostrils flare as he draws in a nearly silent breath, and he brushes his fingers across Zevran's eyelids to close them. Zevran doesn't resist. Alistair starts slow, his fingers tentative as they trace the edges of a burn or follow the line of a cut. And maybe it's a good thing Zevran is gagged, or he might be tempted to sarcasm. Now his only options are to wait or end things entirely. Gradually, those gentle touches grow firm, no longer lingering at the edges, but instead pressing into the center of the burns and dragging across the entire length of each cut. Alistair doesn't add any injuries, but he takes advantage of every single one that's already there. Soon enough, Zevran forgets about sarcasm and about how much he wanted to be tied, because all he can think about is the pain and his desperate fight to breathe through his nose. When Alistair drives his thumbnail into the center of the worst burn across the back of Zevran's thigh, he can't stop himself from falling to his knees. He doesn't land as hard as he could because Alistair catches his arm, but it's still hard enough to make his knees ache. This will be the end of it, Zevran knows. Alistair is struggling already, and so clear a sign of how much that hurts will be too much for him indeed. Alistair is already gripping his chin, turning his face up. "Look at me," Alistair says, and Zevran blinks open, eyes that feel glued together. Pale as he is, Alistair doesn't reach for the knot on the gag as he studies Zevran's face, and whatever he finds there makes him nod and say, "All right," very softly. The pain gets worse. Alistair finds every mark on his skin, scratching and pinching and prodding until blood is running down Zevran's sides, and he feels like he's been flayed. He doesn't even realize he's falling again until his hands hit the floor. And again, Alistair's quick grab is the only thing that saves him from landing face first. This time, Alistair goes down on one knee in front of him, hand firm as he lifts Zevran's head. It's too much effort to open his eyes, and Alistair doesn't say anything. His fingers loop through the gag without tugging, but when Zevran shakes his head, he doesn't argue. Every moment that follows stretches out in a way Zevran recognizes. This is hardly the first time he's been tortured. There's a pattern to it, a rhythm to the pain, his body screaming that it can't withstand more, and his mind overriding that. At every pause, he thinks that it shouldn't be possible to hurt more than he already does. And every time Alistair starts up again, Zevran learns how much more pain there is. A crow who breaks is no longer a crow, but the masters who trained him recognize that sometimes it was easier to withstand pain if the body was allowed some kind of release. Crying or screaming under torture would never meet with approval, but it was acceptable as long as the screams were wordless. So when the first scream pushes past his throat, he lets the gag smother it rather than fight it. Nor does he fight the tears that burn his eyes and drip on the floor, occasionally splashing against the backs of his hands. It doesn't matter that with his mouth blocked and his nose running, every breath is a struggle. He is a crow, and he can't cry for anyone's death, but he can cry for this. Eventually, his arms give out, Alistair's hand on his shoulder catching him before he breaks his nose on the floor. That hand lifts him to sit on his heels, holding him steady as he tries to keep his balance. This time, Alistair doesn't ask before slipping the knot on the gag and pulling the wadded cloth from Zevran's mouth. Zevran leans drunkenly against his chest, eyes closed and mind finally disconnected from everything. Distantly, he recognizes the feeling. Knows that he's treading right on the edge of that place where he'll do whatever Alistair asks, where he'll want to do whatever Alistair asks. But right now, he can't remember why that ever frightened him. Under his ear, Alistair's chest is vibrating, and Zevran realizes he's singing, very softly, as he wipes Zevran's face with a rough cloth. After a moment of concentration, he realizes the words to a Ferelden lullaby, and he smiles, wondering which of them it's meant to soothe. When Alistair puts a vial to his lips, Zevran drinks without protest, not even bothering to make a face at the bitter taste of elfruit. It's strong, too, curling his tongue and freezing his throat, burns healing and cuts closing before he's even finished swallowing. "Mahariel won't thank you for wasting one of her good potions," Zevran says after he's finished it. His throat may be physically healed, but his voice is still rough. "I doubt she'd call it a waste," Alistair says mildly. Zevran snorts in disagreement, turning his face into Alistair's neck, breathing in the smell of sweat and leather. Alistair's hand skims down his ribs to rest on his hip. A light hold he could break if he wanted to. He doesn't.